One of the key stops on Secretary Clinton's trip was the Egyptian resort city of Sharm el-Sheikh. The once sleepy fishing village has a split personality today. It's a sun-kissed playground for Western and Arab tourists and a venue for conferences addressing some of the Middle East's thorniest problems. The two Sharms coexist, but uneasily, as NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
It may be hard to imagine, looking at a coastline crammed with hotels, resorts, and villas, but just a few decades ago, this was rock, sand, and sea, with a scattering of tents pitched by fishermen who would rise before dawn to fish the pristine blue waters of the Red Sea. They weren't the only ones who saw the value of this point overlooking both the Gulf of Suez and the Straits of Tehran. Israel conquered the area twice, in 1956 and 67. And during the second occupation, they built the first hotel at Nama Bay, now the heart of tourist charm. After regaining control in 1982, the Egyptian government encouraged an explosion of development here, and soon the clubs were packed with Europeans and wealthy Arabs. In a brief moment of foresight in 1983, the government created a national park, preserving some of the best coral reefs south of Nama Bay, protecting Sharm's reputation as a diving destination. As another European jet lines up its approach above one of the numerous beachside restaurants and cafes that front Nama Bay, Alphonse Milad surveys the scene. He sees alabaster-fleshed Russians and Europeans sprawled in their Speedos and bikinis. He also sees the conservative young Muslim men serving them beer, and he knows some of them will rush back from work to the nearest mosque to pray for absolution. Milad is a bit of a rarity, a longtime Sharm resident. He first came here from Cairo 22 years ago, and was so enchanted he stayed. Although he's looking at wall-to-wall development that stretches right around the bay, he can still picture Sharm as it was back then.
For me, it was a paradise. Virgin land, very few people on the beach, the sand is very clean, water is very clear. It was much better than now, much, much. Now it's very crowded.
Perhaps not crowded enough for some, however. With the global financial downturn spreading, hotel bookings are down, stays are shorter, and local businesses are laying off staff or giving them unpaid leave, waiting for things to pick up again. Like most journalists, I mainly know the other Sharm el-Sheikh, Diplomatic Sharm, President Hosni Mubarak's favorite meeting site. This is the sound of Mubarak welcoming delegates to the Gaza Donors Conference. You'll have to take my word for that, as the host country is occasionally a bit too energetic in the translation department. The Tower of Babel effect tickles the sense of humor of some of the scribes assigned to cover events here, which, like many diplomatic summits, tend to feature overheated rhetoric and tepid results. Diplomatic Sharm, with its massive security, complicates life in tourist Sharm. Those who do venture out of their all-inclusive resort compounds during summits find themselves wading through endless police checkpoints, a reminder that Sharm was hit by terrorist attacks as recently as 2005. But as long as the sun keeps shining and the Middle East keeps having political problems, Sharm will have a future. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Sharm el-Sheikh.